Paul could probably throw as fast on a given day as Dizzy, but he didn't have the rest of them. And Dizzy had to change the pace and the curveball and all the other stuff. Paul could just throw. Paul was a thrower and Dizzy was a pitcher. That's different.
How about your impressions of Dick Bartel?
Oh, yeah. Little Dick. He was a pepper pot. He just chatted all the time and always getting himself in trouble with his mouth or his tongue.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good offense, but he really agitated a lot of people, especially his opponents. They call him Squeaky. They call him everything, you know, because he just agitated them. And, of course, they agitated back. No, but he was a good ball player. But like I said, he wasn't the most popular guy.
He's the kind of guy, if he was on your team, you loved him, but if he was on the team, you hated him.
That's right. Yeah, somebody else, you didn't. You're right. I think you hit the nail on the head.
How about the trying to hit Carl Hubbell's screwball?
Well, that's a story between Terry Moore and I. It's a cute story. We was on the train and we was going up to play the Giants. We was going east. Pepper said, Terry, of course, sitting there, was talking on the train. He said, "Now listen, when Hubble pitched against you, get up in the box, because that screwball, he throw the screwball all the time. That screwball, it looked like it'd be waist high, and you'll swing and it'd be down, be below your knees." So he said, "Get up in the box." So I said, "Okay." So I got up. So sure enough, we got to New York where Hubble was going to pitch one of the games. Terry said, "Remember, get up now. Don't let this guy go. So don't do it. He'll make a fool out of you."
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "Okay." So I got up in the box a little bit because I used to stand back just a little bit in the box. So I got up about even with the plate. He threw the first ball, and I swung at it, and I swung over, way over. And so I looked around at Terry, and Terry was motioning for me to get up, push up. So I said, "Okay." So I got up in the box a little bit further on the box. The same thing happened. I swung, and that ball, I missed the ball about a foot. and Terry said, I looked around at Terry, I got a piece of some dirt and looked around at Terry, and said, "Get up." So this time I believe, if I was really thinking about it now, I think I was out of the front of the box almost. And he swung again and I hit that thing and I hit right down like I was killing the snake. And I come back over there and Terry like fell off the mound. I mean, I was in the heat laughing. And Freese was the manager. He said, "What in the hell are you trying to do anyway?" Well, that was me hitting against Hubble the first time.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
Did you ever have any luck against him?
Yes. Later on, I did have a little bit of luck with him because I got to where I, instead of trying to hit the ball, because I was a pull hitter. I mean, I was right-hand hitter and I pulled the ball left field a lot. But later on, I against Hubble, I tried hitting the ball to right field. I made me wait longer. And he didn't make a fool out of me like he did that time. But it was funny that Carl, you know, he was a very nice guy. And after I did that, and he turned around to it, he kind of put his hand over his hand like he laughed because he didn't want anybody to see him laugh at me. But it must have been funny the way I was. So everybody bent and fell off of me.
Mm-hmm. And his arm was permanently turned around?
That's right. His arm, till the day he died.
Palm face towards
palm faced out instead of in, and because he threw so many screwballs, his arm was out like this instead.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. He even got a deformity, but it made him a fortune.
Were you in St. Louis today that Hal Schumacher collapsed on the mound from the heat and they had to pack him in ice?
No, I don't recall that. If he did.
Remember that?
I don't remember. I remember hitting against Hal Schumacher because he could really fire that ball. He was a hard ball thrower. You hit a Hal Schumacher when you hit a ball with a bat. He pitched a ball and you hit it with a bat. It felt like we're hitting a rock. It was one of those heavy balls. But he he could really bust that ball on the fist and bust those bats like nothing. I hated to hit against him.
I read a story that said that he had, I don't know, after about 6 or 7 innings, he just collapsed from heat, and when they got to him, they said he didn't even have a heartbeat, and they got him and they packed him in ice and brought him back around. But
probably because boy, it used to get hot in St. Louis. You know, we played at that time most of the games, of course, all the games were played in the daytime.
Yeah.
And you know, in St. Louis, and Cincinnati, and Washington D.C. were the three hottest places in the world. I think there's only a screen door between there and hell. But that surprised me. I know one talk about one of the same. We had Browns had a pitcher named Austin Mueller, a left-handed pitcher named Austin Mueller, and he was pitching for the Browns one day, and it was hot. Oh boy, it was really hot. And he was out there pitching about, like I said, 6th or 7th inning. He bent over to get the signs and put his hand down, but that and his glove fell right off of his head. He just like this, and Sewell jumped up off the mound. That's enough. He's done. He couldn't even hold his glove when he landed. So that's the same kind of like the story that you told about Schumacher.
How about Billy Herman?
Billy Herman was the best ball. I mean, he could turn a double play as quick as anybody. And also, Billy Herman could really handle a bat. I mean, he could hit and run. He was probably. He was my idea of a perfect hit and run guy because he could hit the ball where he wanted. I mean, he had control of the bat. He could hit behind the runner or he could wait just a fraction longer. And if the shortstop was going to cover second base, he'd pull the ball. So he'd have his eyes glued on the second base on the shortstop who was starting to cover. And he'd try to hit the ball. He was the best hit and run hitter I ever seen.
Would you consider him to be the best second baseman in the National League during the 30s? Or?
During that time, yes. Yeah. I think so. He would be my choice to be the best second baseman. Yes, I think so. I don't think there's anything about him. And of course, he had a good guy playing up there, Bill Jurgis.
Yeah.
They were good second. They were a good double play combination. Probably the best. At that time, probably the best.
How well did you know Ernie Lombardi?
Oh, I know Ernie a little bit. I love Ernie. He's got a big old farm boy. It just seemed like me a big farm boy, and I was a farm boy too. So, I've had kind of something going with him. One play I never will forget. Ernie, I played third base, and he was catching, and I'd play way back because he couldn't run. Couldn't run down first base. But I had played way, way deep. And once or twice he said he's going to kid me. He said, I'm going to bunt on you, kid. I'm going to bunt on you. He never did. I recall. But I remember I would play way back and he'd still hit balls. And when there was two fellas that hit like that. Ernie Lombardi, when he would hit a ground ball through the end, it looked like every time it hit the ground, it gained speed. You know, one of those over, he hit the ball, I guess. And Babe Ruth was the other one. When Babe Ruth hit a ball on the ground, it eat you up. It hit you on, you know, you catch it in front of you, but it looked like it just bore a hole in you. And those are two guys that, I never will forget Ernie Lombardi. I started to tell you the story about Ernie Lombardi. It was a hot day in Cincinnati. And Paul Derringer, big Paul Derringer, was pitching. And so, of course, Ernie was kind of laid, you know. He was big old hands and everything. And I know Paul Derringer threw a ball and threw it outside a little bit. And Ernie just reached over and caught it barehanded and threw it back to him. And Paul got so mad. He said, you're showing me. He just caught it barehanded. He's so tired he couldn't get his glove away. He just caught it barehanded and threw it back to him like that. And I never forget that. Paul Derringer fumed on that mound. He was kicking and butt. He wanted to kill him.
Ernie had some of the biggest hands.
Oh, he had big hands. He had big hands. Ernie had big hands.
Like me, though.
Ernie was a good ball player, really. It's a shame that he couldn't have the speed, you know, to help him a little bit. Because if he'd been a little quicker, catching move, but he would have been much more.
Just amazing that he hit like he did.
That's
as
right.
Long as he won. Huh?
That's right. And everybody played way deep. You'd have to hit a ball, you know, hard to get through the infield when you're playing so deep. If he had been playing on AstroTurf, he'd probably kill some infielders.
You know, you talked about, you got to play against Ruth in spring training?
In spring training, huh? Yes. I played against Ruth and Yerrig and Zeri and, of course, Pochetti. I played in the league. All those left. Because the Cardinals and the New York Yankees both trained in St. Petersburg, and we both used the same diamond to play our games on, not to practice. We practiced on the diamond, but then when we'd go away, then they would play their games on the diamond we practiced on, because we practiced on the diamond downstairs. Mm-hmm. And of course, we've seen, you know, I played against him, he and Gary and Tony Lazzari, and you know, guys like that I really admired, because that's when I was just getting down there, and I was a rookie, I didn't play much, but I was just down there to learn. And but you'd see him a lot of times. Of course, St. Petersburg at that time was a small little town. They only had one movie. So after the practice in the evenings, after he did, well, you'd walk around the town a little bit or look in the windows or go to a show where you'd run into him and stop and chat with him a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's the only time I'd see him. Ruth and Gary and Dickie. And later I knew Dickie a little bit better. And he became coach of the Yankees, and I talked to him quite a bit.
How about was Babe Herman the worst fielder that you ever saw?
I guess. Well, he wasn't the best. I thought that way. he had some trouble finding the ball, and then when he caught one, it was an accomplishment every time he caught one. But they said he was not too good an outfielder. He could sure swing a bat. He could really hit. He was a good hitter. Yeah, he couldn't exactly find out where the ball was all the time. He'd tell some terrible tales about him. I guess some of them are true. I don't know. I see him just at the end of his career.
Now, tell me about Bill Lee.
Which Bill Lee?
The pitcher.
Well, Bill Lee, there was Bill Lee with...
with the Cubs.
Oh yeah, he was a curveball pitcher. I couldn't hit him with a pen.
Yeah.
I was a curveball hitter. I mean, and he was a good curveball hitter. I mean, a pitcher, and he could control. I mean, he had control of his pitches. A lot of pitchers, curveball pitchers, got a good curveball, and they throw a good curveball about 8 times out of 10. But those other 2 times, he get hit. So Bill Lee had very, very good control of his curveball. He was a tough pitcher. He really was tough.
Let's see. I guess from what I read that Lee was in the Cardinal organization.
Well, one time, yes.
Right, and then Ricky, I guess, had his choice. So I guess 34 was the year.
Yeah.
And he was either going to bring up Lee or Paul Dean, and he picked Paul Dean and then sold Bill Lee to the Cubs. And I'm just wondering if things would have turned out differently if he'd brought Bill Lee up the way things turned out. Maybe the Cardinals would have won a few more pennants.
Yeah, that's right. They really could have. He was signed by the Cardinals organization. And then, like you said, then he had to get rid of one or two because of it. He could only stay in the major that minor league, I think, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Then he would have been drafted if he didn't keep him.
Right.
So he sold it to Chicago. And, you know, just made a mistake.
Well, Ricky wasn't wrong very often, but he was that time.
Yeah.
How about the Stan Hack?
Oh, Stan Hack.
They said that he had as many friends as DeRosa did enemies.
Yeah, he did. Well,
friendly guy?
That's probably right. Stan Hackett, I used to see Stan. Of course, he and I both played third base. We talked quite a bit. But he was a smiling Stan. He always had a grin on his face. And he could beat you. He was a really good, he was one of the better third basemen. And I would compare him kind of favorably with Butcher Robinson and fellows like that in his time. He was probably Butcher Robinson in the earlier time. Because he could play, you know. He kind of turned third base around a little bit because he used to be, the third baseman was usually a big, strong guy but couldn't move very fast. And they just kept him there, kept him third base because he could hit.
Yeah.
And but then when then came along the other, he was the first one that really became a good third baseman. I think he was the first one probably that became really good. That he was as a defense. I mean the defensive. That's when third base. I'm glad he thought about that because I was no power hitter in that pocket. And I turned around and played third base. I tried to copy something of his, the way he played. We talked a lot about that.
We got a little bit time left on this side. Tell me, how well did you know or what do you remember about Willard Hershberger?
Well, that tragic one. That really was tragic. And I didn't know him well, except that I just played against him. And then he had that tragic death of his. And I don't know, and I really can't tell you much about him, except that he was a good little catcher.
Yeah, pretty good hitter.
Yeah. And I, of course, I never know the reason behind it. Nobody else did, I guess.
Well, the talk was that he was... It was a game against the Giants that they were up 4-1, and it was the bottom of the ninth. And I remember there were two run home runs hit in that inning. I remember Harry Danning that we talked about last time I was here. I think Danning hit the one that won the game, that went from 4-3 then to 5-4. And I guess that this wore on Hershberger for I don't know a week or so or whatever until he finally wound up cutting his wrist or cutting his throat or whatever it was in Boston.
Yeah. And that was it really. And I think it just bothered him. He was probably one of those guys that bothered him. Yeah. He was so intense that it bothered him. But I actually didn't know him that well. I mean, just knew him because he played his game.